Hey, Carla, let's return to being in session. And we have one remaining item. So if you would read that, I would appreciate it.
Item 580, authorize $42,126 total in civic engagement grant agreements for the East Portland Action Plan fiscal year 2014.
Well, I'm happy to welcome the EPAP team here this afternoon. As we know, the charge of this group is to provide leadership and guidance to the city and to other local governments in how we proceed with the action plan for East Portland that was adopted by this council on February 18th, 2009. The EPAP group is providing this annual presentation to us to acknowledge their work and to deal directly with this issue of grant funding. This is the fourth year that EPAP members have decided by consensus to direct funding to the Civic Engagement Grant Program, which is one element of the city's commitment towards equitable involvement in the work of EPAP. Civic engagement grants are directed to people and organizations that join their work to implementing the action plan strategies and work in a culturally specific way and use appropriate language communication. Today, the EPAP will provide information for our purposes in authorizing $42,126 in a total number for a multiple civic engagement grant agreements for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement East Portland Action Plan fiscal year 2013-2014. So I want to welcome maybe more than one person, but I think we are starting with Brian Lockwood and Arlene Kimura, I think are going to start. So come on up and take it away, and there are going to be others who follow their presentation, but we appreciate you being here this afternoon and for your work.
Mayor, I should note for the record that Commissioner Fritz wanted her friends to know that she wished she could be here for this hearing, but she's in Eugene meeting with our counterparts on earned sick leave, and she sends her regrets.
Thank you. Thank you all. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the East Portland Action Plan. I was charged with making the introductory remarks on the action plan. So I'm going to give you a brief outline of some of the things we have done over the last 4 years through the action plan and how we have, I think, taken our charge of being advocates. The East Portland Action Plan Subcommittee BIKE, the BIKE Subcommittee worked very hard along with a whole lot of other people to get PBOT to do the East Portland in Motion. That brought an enormous number of dollars to our part of town and significant sidewalk improvements. The EPAP Housing, co-chaired by Frieda Christopher, who is part of the David Douglas School District, and Jean DeMasters, who is part of the nonprofit Human Solutions Housing Development, did a paper that exploded the urban myth that East Portland has more affordable housing, more subsidized housing than any other part of town. And with that, we were able to move forward with a housing policy that does welcome affordable housing by design. The Civic Engagement Subcommittee did a tremendous effort with working with Multnomah County Health to provide Health County brochures in 10 different languages at the school-based clinics. And for that, we appreciate the work that Multnomah County has done, and the Civic Engagement lobbied long and hard and worked very hard to get that and agree. And I think they're working on getting another round of translation dollar to do that, because for many of our immigrant children, that's the only place where they have any kind of health information. They're just not geared to looking at our health system. We talk about the village. The village is East Portland. We are a village as well as the greater city of Portland village. It takes all of us to raise the village to a level that functions, and we have a long way to catch up, but the action plan does help us catch up. I was at an event on Saturday, at Africa House, where the senior Oromo ladies from Ethiopia suborned the program and said, "We're not done yet. We're going to sing you a song from our childhood." And they did, and it was wonderful. And they felt comfortable enough in East Portland to be able to do that. I think that's the thing that says to me, we are being more inclusive. We are getting the message that this is a welcoming part of town. I hope that this is also part of the greater Portland welcoming. That, you know, we talk about keeping Portland weird, but it isn't weird in the sense of strange. It is weird in the sense that we are inclusive, we are welcoming, and hopefully we are respectful. I would like to also like to say that there has been some discussion about the action plan and the neighborhood associations, and to me they are complementary, not competitive. It takes more than just one system to keep a whole area going. If I may be so inclined, we don't have Major League Football. We have Major League Soccer. Is one better than the other? I don't think so. It is complementary, and I think we need both. And with that, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Nick Sovey, who's going to talk about equity.
Thanks, Arlene.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Sovey with Rose Community Development, and I'm here to talk about budget mapping and the recent auditor's report on East Portland. And I think those are both valuable documents. At the beginning of his speech at the 1963 March on Washington, Martin Luther King said that he and the marchers had come to the Capitol to cash a check. He said that America has failed to live up to its promise to people of color and people in poverty. In Portland, our promise is about livable neighborhoods and about the power of people working together. The recent auditor's report on East Portland shows that Portland has failed to live up to its promise to residents who live east of 82nd Avenue. One out of four Portlanders. The auditor's report frequently uses the city's service levels and accomplishments survey to compare East Portland to the rest of the city. When the survey began in 1993, East Portland residents rated the livability of their neighborhood higher than the city average. By 2013, East Portland livability was 18 points below the city average. And every year since 2002, residents in East Portland have rated their neighborhood livability lower than the residents in all other neighborhood districts. Here's some of the numbers from the auditor's report that tell why that's so. During 2013, seven of the city's 10 pedestrian deaths were east of 82nd Avenue. 41% of the fatal crashes were here. East Portland has only 11% of the city's total of 911 traffic signals. East Portland has 13% of the city's park acreage and 6% of its developed park acreage. We have 40% of the city's school-age children, but only 9% of its park restrooms, 14% of baseball fields, 12% of basketball hoops, and 17% of soccer fields. Tom Cusack, the former director of the Portland HUD office, recently published research that says 72% of Portland renters earning less than $50,000 a year are paying more than they can afford for rent. I was concerned there was a quote from the audit that said, since rents in East Portland are lower than the city as a whole, according to Portland Housing Bureau management, the market is providing sufficient affordable housing opportunities in East Portland. When nearly three out of four renters are paying more than a third of their income for rent, and 70% of people living in poverty are paying more than half of their income, we should be looking for affordable housing opportunities wherever we can. Affordable housing shouldn't be poor housing. The audit says that in 1997, community survey responses about the physical condition of housing were the same citywide as they were in East Portland. Now the percentage citywide is about the same as it was then, but the East Portland number has dropped 15 points. The audit confirms the lack of investment in East Portland. During the audit period, only 7% of the affordable housing units and only 5% of the dollars were invested in East Portland. EPAP was created because of the obvious disparity between East Portland and the rest of the city. The plan describes concerns raised by Jeff Merkley, then an East Portland representative to the legislature. He believed the shift in poverty, East Portland, the poor quality and design of housing, missed opportunities for economic development, and concerns about public safety place East Portland at a tipping point and ought to be addressed immediately. EPAP has made great progress working with you and the city bureaus. We've generated millions of dollars of additional investment. In the last 4 years, transportation budgets in East Portland have doubled, and the parks budgets are up 20%. To close, here are two stories. A friend of mine moved back to Portland several years ago with his wife and two small children. He moved to East Portland across the street from a park that was marked on the map, but in reality was a vacant lot that city crews mowed a few times a year. When his family visited parks in the other parts of the city, his daughters would ask why their park didn't have any play equipment or ball fields or fountains. Those girls are about to graduate and leave home, and they never really had a neighborhood park to enjoy. So this is a happier story. I think Merrill Hales, he had a part in this one. In the 80s, I worked at Southeast Uplift with the Brentwood-Darlington Neighborhood Association. It isn't in East Portland, but it was annexed at about the same time as a lot of the neighborhoods in EPAP. There was a vacant lot that attracted dumping and crime. The Neighborhood Association wanted to build Harney Park there. They did a carnival fundraiser. They hit up the Blazers, the Precision Cast Parts, and the Corps of Engineers. Harney Park is a great example of effective government. To build the park, the streets had to be paved, and environmental services coordinated with transportation so that the new streets didn't have to be torn up to put in the new sewers. If you go to Harney Park today, you would not be able to imagine what it was like then. Vacant lots and $40,000 houses have been replaced by $200,000 and $250,000 houses. That was a good investment for the city because the new houses pay a lot more in property taxes than what was there before. The Portland Business Journal recently reported that 97206, Harney Park zip code, has the fastest home sales in the entire metro area. EPAP is here to cash the check so that the quality of your neighborhood, your street, and the houses around you isn't predetermined by your zip code. We can advocate, but it's up to City Council to make sure that East Portland's check isn't returned due to insufficient funds. If the city truly cares about equity for East Portland, for communities of color, for children, then it needs to invest more than it does now, starting now. Thanks very much.
Can I just ask you one question? And I'm sorry Dan's not here because he probably would have a question too. But we just did the PDC budget, and as you know, there's not a lot of money in the line item for rental housing in Lentz. Mm-hmm. There is for home repair, a little bit for home ownership. But Lentz has not been a successful urban renewal district yet. Mm-hmm. So the mayor has said we're going to go deeper and broader, mm-hmm. and see if we can develop a new strategy. The housing commissioner has proposed a kind of a voluntary inclusionary zoning policy, mm-hmm. but as you and I know, that actually doesn't work in areas that don't mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. other development patterns. It might work better downtown to get a mix. We lifted the cap on multifamily tax abatements in Lentz and in Gateway, so there wouldn't be competing citywide for any of those projects. So if you were king for a day, what's the missing piece for us in terms of resources, knowing that we've been adding some money, general fund money, but we're not going to solve it that way. What's the missing piece?
I think there's really interesting things that are happening in different places like New York. I'd heard that I think Sao Paulo, Brazil, is actually auctioning off development rights, and they're using that for things like affordable housing. I think there clearly need to be more resources. I definitely support the moves that Commissioner Saltzman is making, but I hope there's more moves that add on to that. I guess another thing you'd mentioned, the Lentz budget. They've funded the home repair and the home ownership, which I think is great, but the rental housing budget has kind of been what's left over. And I think, especially given the urgency of the tight rental market here, that rental housing really needs to be a part of the picture in Lentz and other districts.
Whether we end up at some point having the authority to do inclusionary zoning, which we can't today on a mandatory basis, or whether we craft a voluntary plan, you would urge us to consider ways of creating the incentive, and then potentially banking the public benefit and not always spending it on site, but maybe using it in a fund for some other purpose?
Right, definitely.
Dan has put together the Housing Investment Fund, so just conceptually, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, in lieu of, if someone took advantage of a voluntary mechanism downtown, in lieu of affordable units on that site, if it generated funds, which mm-hmm. then were put into a pot, they could be invested in places like East Portland.
That would be great, and I think Portland should also look at linkage fees that we've seen just in the last 2 years. The market here has gotten hot as places like San Francisco and Boston and those places where you've got such rapid development. They're charging fees, and that's going to fund affordable housing that they badly need.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Natalia, I think you're next.
Okay, my name is Natalia Sabalevskaya, and I am co-chair of Civic Engagement Subcommittee. The mission of East Portland Action Plan Civic Engagement Subcommittee is to promote cultural diversity as an important community asset in East Portland. The purpose of our subcommittee is to organize cultural and language-specific civic engagement workshop, share curriculum, advocate for ongoing funding, and advise on East Portland culture and language specific issues and priorities. During 2013-2014 fiscal year, our strategic priorities were, first, engage the ethnic communities in neighborhood activities, provide translation language services to remove barriers and improve messaging and invitation. East Portland Action Plan prioritizes providing interpretation and translation upon request. Spanish language services are provided automatically at the general EPUB and Civic Engagement Subcommittee meeting. EPUB allocates on average 50% of their general grants funds to language and culture-specific community projects, and due to advocacy from the Civic Engagement Subcommittee, a language and culture-specific civic engagement grant program allocates funding only to language and cultural specific projects. The City Engagement Subcommittee develops both the civic engagement grant application and review criteria. Each year, the documents and reviewing and revised based upon input and experience. Representatives from the Civic Engagement Subcommittee have been actively involved with EPUB Municipal Partnership Project that again provided funding to Portland Parks and Recreation for mobile playgrounds in East Portland. Through this partnership, we have been able to influence mobile playground site selection, activities, local hiring practices, multilingual outreach, and even the addition of Spanish language and Russian language movies to the park and recreation movies in the parks program last summer. As a committee, we reviewed and gave significant input on the Portland Park and Recreation job application form. Due to our activism and advocacy of our subcommittee, City of Portland Office of Neighborhood Involvement Crime Prevention Program, called Enhanced Safety Program, accepted our suggestion to add some important standards to their written document to avoid and prevent discrimination. The related document had under minimum requirements for management practices, criminal background check, government-issued picture ID, verification of rental history for 3 years, and credit check. We developed and advocated for written alternatives that would address screening practices concerns, while not excluding those traditionally marginalized from safe and city-supported housing. Our second priorities were increase information about health clinics in East Portland. Our subcommittee advocated with Multnomah County to print and redistribute student-based health clinic brochures. We are coordinating again with East Portland School Districts for distribution of the brochures to all schools of East Portland for students grades K to 12. Our previous advocacy had the brochures distributed in 7 languages. Through our advocacy and partnership with Multnomah County Judicial Park, we now have the support and funding from Multnomah County to add translation of the brochures into 3 additional languages, Nepali, Arabic, and Zomi. These languages represented some of East Portland's newest community members with the least ability to read English and know about available resources. This project rose to a priority because we heard stories of families who did not know about the school-based health clinic, even though they were living on the same block. In conclusion, I want to thank you for the opportunity you supported us to work with city bureaus such as Park and Recreations and ONI to be involved in participating to build partnership, advocacy, and improvements in the quality of life that enhances equity for immigrant communities in East Portland. Due to your support, our representation now extends to participation and to Amanda Fritz. She personally recommend us to go to that board of directors. We now on a Washington Park Transportation Growth Management Board of Directors. And we advocate on a Z Board of Directors for East Portland. Thank you for your attention. And Lori Poison with Housing Economic Development will be next.
Thank you. Thanks, Natalia. Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this afternoon. I'm Lori Boyson, and I'm a resident of the Palhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association and a board member. I am also Secretary of the Midway Business Association, the District Manager for the Division Midway Alliance for Community Improvement, and an East Portland Action Plan member. I am speaking to you today on behalf of the East Portland Action Plan's Economic Development and Housing Subcommittees. The purpose of EPAP's Economic Development Subcommittee is to develop a strong business environment that strengthens existing businesses, promotes new businesses, and expands living wage jobs in East Portland. I would like to outline for you some of the work EPAP's Economic Development Committee has done this past year toward developing a strong business environment in East Portland. In June, representatives from the Economic Development Committee were able to address 2 of the committee's initiatives at the Economic Development Town Hall at the American Legion. Because of time constraints, the answers to our questions were brief, but these questions got the attention of government agencies, including Metro, Multnomah County, and the State of Oregon. EPAP members have been invited to many tables to discuss issues that affect East Portland. For example, I'm a member of the Powell Division Steering Committee with other fellow EPAP members and Commissioner Novick. The committee is currently looking at anti-displacement tools as they relate to the Inner Powell Outer Division project area. And because of the anti-displacement work being done in EPAP's Housing, Cultural Engagement, and Economic Development subcommittees, Metro is looking to EPAP as a source for establishing these tools in this project. Other committee members attend, share information, and report on EPAP's behalf to the East Portland Chamber of Commerce, Mount Hood Community College, as well as many others. I am proud to announce to Council that thanks to the diligent efforts of subcommittee members, the Economic Development Subcommittee is working with the Parks Bureau on a community benefits agreement for both of East Portland's new parks. We are also on the David Douglas and Centennial School District's radar to establish CBAs on their future projects. This committee established the Gateway Education Economic Development Center as a priority strategy again this year. Despite our efforts, we have not made the progress we hoped for, but Mount Hood Community College leadership is actively engaged at our table, and today we again encourage City Council to put their partnership skills behind this displacement prevention strategy. Because of the strong relationship between EPAP and the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiatives, all 4 East Portland MPIs are represented on this committee. Through EPAP support this past year, the MPIs have utilized the subcommittee's resources to increase capacity into their respective communities, and we all thank you for this opportunity. As the Economic Development Subcommittee looks to the future, we see conversations with this council about how we can all work together to actually market East Portland as a place to do business. I would also like to take this opportunity to tell you about the EPAP Housing Subcommittee. This committee has as its goal to support a range of housing types in East Portland as a means to strengthen livable communities, encourage healthy, complete, and stable neighborhoods, and promote family wage jobs. The EPAP Housing Subcommittee recognizes that if East Portland is to become a more livable community, it will require more middle-income housing and more step-up affordable housing. The Housing Subcommittee strives to support middle-income and low-income housing, as well as rental housing and home ownership. The research from the EPAP Housing Subcommittee dispelled the myth that East Portland had more tax-abated property for affordable housing than any other neighborhoods. Nick Sovey and Frida Christopher studied the tax records and produced the documentation that East Portland had the same amount of tax-abated property for affordable housing as did other neighborhoods in the city of Portland. Our current research documents the fact that many people in East Portland will pay more in property taxes than a person in Inner Northeast or North Portland with a house of the same value. This tax inequity concerns us, since a potential home buyer considering two properties of equal value, one in East Portland and the other in North Portland, may select the home in North Portland because property taxes may be thousands of dollars a year less. The EPAP Housing Subcommittee is working on this issue to promote equitable home ownership. In conclusion, like the Economic Development Subcommittee, the Housing Subcommittee is actively looking for tools to prevent displacement. This year, we addressed the Policy Link Toolkit and the Mitigating Displacement Due to Gentrification Tools for Portland, Oregon paper. We are now studying the Naughton Cully document. We want to work in partnership with the Portland Housing Bureau and the Portland Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Strategies need to be put into place now so we can limit displacement of low-income people, families, and people of color. If started now, the City of Portland has an opportunity to address displacement prevention effectively and be a national model for investment in sustaining a city's diversity while improving livability. For this reason, the Housing and Economic Development Subcommittees support family wage jobs and job training, affordable rental options, as well as minority and low-income home ownership. Thank you again for your time and consideration. We look forward to working with you into the future as we establish a strong business environment for East Portland, one that drives strong neighborhoods, stable quality housing, and healthy, diverse communities. Brooke Chilton Timmons with the Education Subcommittee will speak next.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Come on up, Brooke. Bringing reinforcements, I see.
That's right. Yeah. Good afternoon. So I'm Brooke Chilton Timmons. I'm lead manager for Metropolitan Family Service, and I'm also co-chair of the Education Subcommittee for EPAP, along with Don Grotting, superintendent of David Douglas. And the Education Subcommittee is committed to the success of all students in East Portland and to increasing access and engagement of parents in the schools. Some of our efforts this year include advocacy regarding the inclusion of race and ethnicity in the PCL funding formula and support for projects that work to erase the achievement gap for students of color and those in poverty, projects like Early Works at Earl Boyles and some community schools. We've been working with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to ensure that the comp plan includes strong communication between school districts and the city as we look toward future growth. We've also established procedures with the city so that school districts receive notification of new housing development within their boundaries. And so that information comes in the form of monthly reports that school districts are getting, and it's already being utilized. And also, that information gives school districts the opportunity to inform planning for school enrollment and also to think about advocacy if some of that new development could negatively impact a particular building or the district as a whole. Other efforts this year include meeting with East Portland state representatives to be informed about legislation that's coming up or in the works that impacts education. And we also continue to work with Multnomah County Library Services to identify creative ways to bring more library services to East Portland. Since we're likely not to get a branch soon, we still want to think creatively about how we can access those services. And this summer, some of our exciting work includes reaching out to parents in East Portland to bring them together and build a stronger parent voice on the Education Subcommittee to really make sure that our advocacy efforts are aligned with what East Portland parents are looking for, and really making sure that that group is representative of our diverse community. We also plan to bring together East Portland superintendents to look at our advocacy efforts and make sure that we're in alignment with theirs. We want our partnership with school districts to be productive and efficient and to have our advocacy efforts aligned in the best way possible. So we will continue to work with school districts and with you all to find the best ways to support the students and family that need us most in East Portland. And I get the pleasure of introducing Dr. Karen Fisher-Gray, Superintendent of Park Rose School District.
Thank you. Hey,
thanks, Brooke. Good afternoon, Karen.
Good afternoon, everyone. As she had stated, I'm Karen Gray. I'm the superintendent for Park Rose School District, and I'm also a member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. It is my privilege to be a member of this East Portland Action Plan panel presentation to City Council. EPAP is a real force for positive, conscious, and equitable change in East Portland. As a reminder, East Portland is home to about a quarter of the residents in the city of Portland and almost half of its children who attend school. The topic I would like to speak to is social equity. This year, the Oregon Department of Education reformed the way in which it provides school funding through its formula. The state school fund formula includes a weighting for each student based on multiple factors, such as special education, English as a second language, and poverty. In recognition of the fact that children in poverty have moved both voluntarily and involuntarily to East Portland through gentrification, the poverty index was changed statewide. Those districts with higher poverty, as measured by the 2010 census, were given increases based on the number of children of poverty living in their district. Needless to say, the district in East Portland were at the top of the list. It simply takes much more money to educate children who need so much. The Planning and Sustainability Commission has begun to focus more strongly on issues around citywide equity. Some of those issues are directly related to access to social and safety services, assistance programs, resource allocation, employment development, housing development, and accessible transportation in East Portland. In fact, I would go so far as to say that we have begun using equity as a lens for much of what we do, the conversations that we have, and the decisions we make as an advisory body to the City of Portland. Andre Baugh, the PSC chairman, has led this movement towards social equity for all of Portland. We are all aware of the fact that the City of Portland is gentrifying. It has been gentrifying for years. This means that traditional neighborhoods are being fixed up, sold, and people have been forced to move out to the more affordable areas that are in East Portland. These areas in East Portland are poor on economic development and family wage jobs. There is a lack of service and amenities in most areas. An example is that traditionally African American neighborhoods are being developed and sold to non-African American buyers, changing the face, feeling, and heart of some of our historically black neighborhoods. There are still the largest numbers of traffic crash zones, non-contiguous or incomplete roads, paved roads, sidewalks, and a lack of access to 20-minute or complete neighborhoods east of 82nd Avenue. This is a fact and cannot be disputed. I also know from being on the commission that there is currently no East Portland quadrant zone plan. We have excellent, well-developed quadrant plans for the rest of the city, but not for East Portland. To me, the funding of EPAP for the last 4 years has been the only city-supported East Portland development plan. The EPAP has clear priorities that are assessed, measured, examined, and strategized annually within the East Portland community. We have spoken to City Council each year about how we are moving the action plan forward, one strategy at a time, with very little funding. The only thing we have is elbow grease, grit, determination, resilience, and excellent leadership in Laura Wintergreen. How she manages to keep all of our many active subgroups moving forward in a cohesive, strategic manner is a minor miracle to me. I wish once again to thank Portland City Council and Mayor Hales for supporting funding for EPAP. The City of Portland is the recipient of all the good work that so many East County activists have put into the implementation of the plan. Until the City of Portland actively and sincerely develops an East Portland quadrant plan and puts much-needed dollars behind that plan, I feel that we must continue to support the work of EPAP. EPAP is an organization that promotes social equity, advocacy, leadership development, and a positive and growing intersection of civic engagement with all ethnic communities. EPAP is deeply committed to the resolution of inequity in East Portland. EPAP active partners I have not yet addressed are the Technical Advisory Committee members, city, county, TriMet, metro, school districts, and Oregon Department of Transportation representatives meet quarterly to work collaboratively to implement action items and coordinate website reports of progress on specific action items. At this committee, we discussed East Portland projects and their cross-jurisdictional impacts. The EPAP advocate shares the work of the other EPAP committees, and the reporting done at the TAC provides invaluable information to the general EPAP. EPAP's strategic priorities are shared and discussed, gaps are noted, and needs explored. In January, we focused on a six-month strategic priority check-in and identified progress on 20 of the 29 strategic priorities. The active support and encouragement of the mayor and city council reinforces the investment in the city bureaus are able to make in East Portland. Thank you very much for your active support of so many citizens of Portland.
Dr. Gray, can I just ask you a quick question?
Of course.
How many languages are spoken in your school district?
Right now, Park Row School District has more than 50 languages.
And how many young people in your school district speak more than two languages?
I do not know that statistic at this
Probably
time.
Quite a few.
Oh, I would imagine quite a number. And that's within 15 square miles of 4,000 students. So you are talking about an amazingly dense school district with an average poverty rating of about 75%. That means some schools are at 100 and some schools slightly less. And multiple languages being spoken, written, communicated. People literally come into the airport and walk right into our school district.
Just has always struck me that at a time when being able to speak a second and third language is so vital to being operating this global, world. This is an enormous strength.
It can be parlayed into amazing success.
How we convert it into something.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And next will be David Hampston.
Afternoon, David. Welcome.
Hi. I'm David Hampston. First, I want to thank the city for funding the many transportation improvements in East Portland, especially over the last 5 years, as well as building over 6 miles of new arterial sidewalks. We are sincerely grateful for getting out of the mud. The recent increases in transportation funding is a good start on the previous 20 years of city neglect. Most of the present infrastructure in East Portland was built by Multnomah County before and during annexation. Any county negligence on not requiring sidewalks and all public roadways was not only not really corrected by the city after annexation, it was more often than not doubly replicated by the city. As more housing was allowed in the city to be built in East Portland, more than doubling the pre-annexation population, the city also more often allowed for waivers of its rules, resulting in even more substandard transportation infrastructure to be built, if it was built at all. This double neglect, increased housing without corresponding transportation improvements, has created a situation in East Portland whereby local residents have to drive to get from their homes to work, school, or any errands. In most of East Portland, walking and biking is not really a safe option, as local streets do not easily connect, and main roads are far too busy, narrow, and dangerous. Over half of East Portland has no transit service at all within a quarter mile, and only three frequent service lines serve the area, in spite of our high population densities and density of vulnerable peoples. In this context, we've been ardently advocating for transportation funding over the last few years. In the past 4 years, East Portland has received about $75 million in funded transportation projects. This is really a drop in the bucket, but we sincerely appreciate it. About $25 million of that was for projects already funded before EPAP even began. The remaining $50 million of projects were ones that EPAP successfully advocated for with public agencies to fund. Of those, $38 million for projects entirely within East Portland, and about $12 million for projects that lay partly outside of East Portland. We're able to successfully achieve this level of advocacy by our various community partners working cooperatively. We had regular advocacy from at the PBUT budget meetings, passing on key pieces of information in a timely manner to our EPAP Operations Committee, who advocated directly with City Council members on an annual basis. We also passed on information to our Land Use and Transportation Committee, which is very longstanding, which has not only been able to help the community prioritize and rank projects for future funding, but it's also worked with our district coalition allies across Portland towards our mutual goals, and also with our key advocates on the Mayor's Budget Committee, who can ask highly insightful questions at key moments in time. It has also helped that both PBOT and the City Council have been constant and reliable partners throughout this process. Transportation Commissioners Adams and Novick have both been excellent advocates for East Portland, helping to secure consent from City Council at key funding votes over the last 5 years. We also have advocated and received support for our projects from Multnomah County, Metro, TriMet, and ODOT. PBOT personnel have also been important in our advocacy as they help us select and prioritize projects, they find funding sources, and they, of course, build them. Dan Bauer, in particular, was outstanding throughout this process. Since East Portland doesn't usually have a vote on the PBOT Modal Advisory Committees, pedestrian, bike, and freight, let alone a fair share of the voting power, we have been fortunate that several Southwest representatives have been looking out for our interests for key votes over the last few years. The local media have also sometimes been key catalysts for getting the city to focus more on East Portland transportation projects. Thank you, and I will now pass this on to Kim Marks, who will discuss Outer Powell Boulevard.
Great, thank you all.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Kim Marks. I live in East Portland on Southeast 130th Avenue, and I have lived in Southeast Portland since October of 2007. I am here today to speak on behalf of East Portland Action Plan and our work on transportation issues. I am visually impaired and am very reliant on walking and public transportation. I, like so many people, have been and continue to be frustrated by the lack of non-car infrastructure. Today, the issues of East Portland are well known due to EPAP. It has provided a mechanism for East Portlanders to come together on many issues, including transportation, issues that disproportionately impact us. Just as importantly, people have a way to channel their anger and frustration into positive and constructive directions. I would like to share with you ways that I have channeled my energies into improving my community. These activities have all been through and would have never been without East Portland Action Plan. I am the EPAP representative for the Powell Division Steering Committee to bring high-capacity rapid transit and development to the Inner Powell Outer Division Corridor. This is Metro's first project with so much community input, and EPAP is providing a large cross-representative perspective. EPAP advocates that all government projects in our community be done through a prism of ensuring equity for and underserved populations. I believe we have been instrumental in getting Metro to develop the project in a way that will be fair and equitable to small businesses and the people who live and work along this route, including anti-displacement policies. I would also like to address Outer Powell Boulevard. EPAP was a primary force in getting the Powell conceptual design plan approved. However, the PCDP was only the first step. EPAP has been working with elected and appointed officials to get to the next step. State Representative Fagan has produced funding for the necessary assessments to make Powell shovel ready. The reality, though, is that the PCDP and the assessments do not mean a thing if we do not get the funding to implement the changes that are needed to make Powell a safe and livable main street of our community. We urge City Hall and PBOT to work with its partners to obtain the necessary funding, not just to ask for it, but to demand it if needed, be it from the city, the state, or the federal government. The time for asking is well past. People have died on Outer Powell, including Valentin Kubayeva on December 13, 2013. EPAP members helped organize a vigil for her. Many elderly Russian community members spoke powerfully of the same concerns expressed by the organized activists of East Portland. More innocents are surely going to die if changes are not made. EPAP will do its part to help. EPAP is not just a single entity. We are many groups and individuals who will go forth and help in a way that is agreed upon and appropriate. Thank you again, or thank you for listening to these thoughts, and for I ask that you continue the funding for East Portland Action Plan.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Larry Coton. I'm the chair of the EPAP Grant Review Committee. So as you know, and as we've stated here earlier today, we've elected every year to budget a portion of our annual funds to enable a couple different grant programs. One of those is the general grants. I'm going to talk about those first, and then secondly, the civic engagement grants, which we have on the on your table for approval a little bit later. So as far as the general grants go, to be eligible, the organizations that come before us have to point out what their grant accomplishes in the plan, which action item or strategy it dovetails with. As we all know, and as the city auditor recently pointed out, the action plan, when it was drafted, the community identified 268 different action items. It's a big, comprehensive plan, and every action item in there is a result of a community member coming to us and saying, this is something that's important to me. So since we can't possibly work on those, obviously, every year, we identify our key strategies, our key priorities. During the scoring process for the grants, those applicants were rewarded bonus points if they were able to show us how they address those priorities. And you actually have a light blue paper in the right-hand side of your pocket that kind of shows those intersections there. So for the general grants, we had 24 applications this year. People were requesting a total of $112,000. And ultimately, we elected to fund 11 of them because we had just over $50,000 available for funding. I'm just going to read those off for you right quick. So these, again, were general grants. First was APANO for the work with culturally appropriate visioning in the Jade District, the Association of Slavic Immigrants for production of their Slavic Cultural Festival, Friends of Zanger Farm for their Community Chefs Program, Human Solutions for a great program called Feeding Minds, Feeding Futures, Outgrowing Hunger for establishing East Portland Neighborhood Gardens, OPAL for training youth in environmental justice and to convene a youth summit, Wisdom of the Elders produced multi-generational storytelling festivals and cultural trainings. The African American Youth and Community Organization to educate Somali parents on renters' rights, school policies, and gang prevention strategies. The Community Alliance of Tenants for efforts to activate new tenants' rights leaders. The Portland Fruit Tree Project to bring their good works finally out to East Portland. The Zomi Association to conduct Zomi language training for their youth. And lastly, to the Bhutanese American Society for a program designed to help integrate new Bhutanese refugees into East Portland. So as you can see in those general grants, we have a real wide range of projects represented. And these are really vital programs that enhance food security, youth engagement, cultural preservation, and basic human rights. Also, as we've discussed on previous presentations, you know that we like to see how much our grants are going to leverage. And so we ask our applicants to state how many additional resources they're going to bring to the table. This year, the $50,746 that we awarded in general grants is leveraging an additional $267,008. So that's a 5-to-1 match on our every dollar invested. Now, these grants are all in the final approval process right now with the Director of Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Now, onto the civic engagement grants. They're a bit narrower in focus in that, as we've also stated here earlier today, they must focus on culturally and language-specific projects. For 2014, we had 19 requests, asking for a total of $136,519. We awarded $42,126, as you know, which funds 7 of those 19 requests. And they are as follows. Buddentham Arum, $5,000 for the Lao Cultural Preservation and Enhancement Project. And this project's kind of exciting because it's the first time that they're really uniting all 5 Lao communities in East Portland. The Community Alliance of Tenants, $8,563 to convene separate Native American, African American, Spanish language, and Asian immigrant focus groups and trainings. Ecumenical Ministries, $9,000 to fund citizenship classes for low-income Spanish-speaking immigrants as part of the New Americans Initiative. The Russian-Speaking Network, $5,000 for their very successful Crime Prevention Begins at Home series of workshops. Impact Northwest, $5,000 to promote job readiness among Latino students at Park Rose High School as part of the Urban Opportunities Program. And $5,000 for NAIA, for Native American Storytelling, designed to instruct city policy and programmatic impact. Oh, and lastly, One Life Portland, which is actually sponsored by the Rosewood Initiative, $4,563 to fund their Raising the Level program, which will build youth confidence and family support amongst African-American families in East Portland. So that's our list of our civic engagement grants there. In regards to leveraging, the civic engagement grants historically leverage a little bit less on the dollar side of things, because what they really leverage is community capacity for underrepresented communities. But even given that, our estimated leverage for these grants I just listed comes to $52,142, so it's still better than a 1-to-1 match. And as we mentioned, the formal ask for these civic engagement grants is going to happen at the end of our presentation. So my last note I want to make on civic engagement grants is these are really exciting because part of what they have to do when they fill out their applications, they have to show us what their next steps are for leadership development. So we're really building capacity and leadership training for these underrepresented communities. So lastly, we've talked a little bit about some different themes that the EPAP has really been hitting on this year, and I want to just point out how these grants hit those themes before I yield to Natalia here. So resolving East Portland inequity, these grants bring underserved voices to the table, often for the very first time. Leadership building via grant requirements that specifically challenge our awardees to identify their next steps for leadership placement. Community activation by giving people an avenue to get involved where perhaps one did not exist before. And lastly, connectedness, civic engagement, which frankly is what this is all about, the whole reason we're here. So with that, I'm going to yield to Natalia, who can talk about one of these grants.
Good evening. Good afternoon again. I'm with Russian Speaking Network. And we applied for grant and for our program, Crime Prevention Begins at Home. And this program designed for Russian-speaking community, where we explain law enforcement and explain judicial system for Russian-speaking people. Our program is unique because no another agency not providing this kind of information, where people can ask some different questions to cities like officials. For example, we invite for our workshops. It's a attorney, or we invite some people from DHS. We invite people from Portland Police Bureau, and they explain some laws for people, and people can ask questions without any fear, you know, and it's very important for people. And we have 2 sessions, and we invite 20 people, and they come for 2 different workshops, and also these people to We explain them how to be involved in city life. We explain about City Hall, how they can come to City Hall and the commissioners and ask some questions if they need it, you know. And it's very exciting. And people actually, they very like these workshops because it's, we did this kind of workshop in the past. And and also I want to say something about EPUB. A grant opportunity. It's really unique opportunities for our small, for our communities who are not speaking very well English, because this grant was designed especially for specific language. And Lori very good, and she said you can even write a grant in a native language, like different, like Spanish or Zomi, you know, and it's very important to keep these grants funded, because it's like, it's not big money. Let's say, like lady said, we got 5,000, but we will leverage like around 8,000 for our grant. It's very good, and it's also like it's a good outcome of this, because like our participants, they will be engaged later in civic life, the because it's good for citizens, you know, and I be more, if our citizens will be strong, like in civil rights, and this means it will be good for all Portland, for all communities. Thank you.
Thank you.
And please, please, to continue to fund it, our grants. Thank you. And our another grantee, Rafael Lopez, he will be next.
Great. Thank you. Come on, Rafael.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Rafael Lopez, actually, and I work as an education specialist and an accredited rep for SOAR Immigration Legal Services. I'll give you a brief background of our program. So SOAR stands for Sponsors Organized to Assist Refugees. It was founded in 1979 as a refugee resettlement agency, and its mission is to assist refugees in becoming self-sufficient, integrated community members. Now, SOAR began providing legal services in 1992 and is recognized by the Board of Immigration Appeals as an authorized provider of immigration legal services. They provide culturally competent immigration-related legal services and education to low-income immigration or immigrants, better said, and refugees. In 2013 alone, SOAR Legal assisted over 2,000 low-income individuals with immigration, legal, and education services. So our programs, as mentioned before, include the New Americans Initiative, which EPAP is a part of, and the Cuban-Haitian Assistance Project, and our General Legal Services Program. Now, SOAR, as mentioned before, is a part of the Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. That's EMO. Since 1973, EMO is the leading interreligious faith-based organization in Oregon. Their mission is to bring together diverse communities of faith to learn, and serve and advocate for justice, peace, and integration and the integrity of creation. So I'm here mostly to talk about this year's partnership with SOAR Legal and the East Portland Action Plan. This partnership was created to provide bilingual English and Spanish citizenship classes to the Spanish-speaking community in outer East Portland. Now, first, the purpose behind teaching a bilingual citizenship class is to better provide a culturally specific curriculum that would allow for students to connect more readily with the history and civics information that all naturalization applicants are required to know. These requirements are established by USCIS, the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services Agency, via their naturalization exam. Second, this meets the need for a bilingual and bicultural classroom that promotes education for those applicants that will be taking the citizenship exam in Spanish. Through our partnership with EPAP, this year we were able to provide two 10-week-long citizenship classes serving a total of 18 students. Classes were 2 hours long and held once a week. Each class received 20 hours of instruction for a combined 40 hours of bilingual, culturally specific citizenship instruction. We were very happy to have been fortunate enough to partner with the Midland branch of the Multnomah County Library, located on Southeast 122nd Avenue, as a host, to serve as host of one of our citizenship classes. Now, I mention this because this partnership with the library is especially important to us because it provided an opportunity for Spanish-speaking members of our community to connect with an important and integral community hub. This helped provide activation within the community to engage more with the library, its resources, and the events offered by them. Their engagement with our class